The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber here from the PNC studio at Halas Hall, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin, happy to have you aboard, and pleased to be joined for the entire hour with a pivotal member of the Bears defense, outside linebacker Sam Acho, who might not be the best talker in the Acho family, and he's pretty darn good. But your brother Manuel, man, I've been watching him break down college football. I saw him before the Texas Notre Dame game earlier this season. He's better than you.
He's impressive. I wouldn't say better yet, right?
Oh.
Check it out. So we just played the Eagles, right? My brother played in Philly for 3 years, so all of his friends are still in Philly. His boys are still playing for the team. The first thing they said, oh, your brother's way better looking than you. I was like, hold on now. You don't even know me yet. So, hey, let's get this one out the way, and we'll see who's the better Acho.
You know, when I was playing for the Bears, Steve McMichael was here. Did you ever hear about McMichael you were at Texas?
I didn't hear. Tell me.
But we used to talk about the Notre Dame-Texas games of the past, and, you know, you kind of leading up to that, there's a lot of anticipation. And this year, watching the kickoff of the season, Notre Dame-Texas, really impressed with the job Charlie Strong, right, the head coach of Texas, has done down there. And it kind of changed the culture, got a lot of players on, you know, that are following his message. It was an impressive performance by Texas.
Yeah, and it took a little bit of time. It took him about 3 years to really change that culture. It was when I was there, and Lamar Houston, we played together for 3 years, and we had a winning culture. And then towards the end of that, even my senior year, we were 5-7 or something along those lines. Right after the national championship year, we lost to Alabama. But it took him time, and it takes certain coaches time to change culture. And now you see the success that Texas is having.
You know, he came from a completely different culture, but a very successful one at Louisville. You know, Teddy Bridgewater was the main man at Louisville when Charlie Strong was there. And he had to get used to just recruiting. You don't even have to go outside of the state of Texas to recruit down there.
But he does. He does a great job. And you look at even the last couple of years, not having bowl-eligible seasons, winning seasons, yet still having a top-10 recruiting class.
And he got a quarterback. I mean,
exactly. Bouchel's impressive.
Yeah, the former Cubs, Steve Bouchel. Shane Bouchel, his kid, he's the guy who's throwing the deep balls. And then they got this guy, the 18-wheeler, right?
Yeah, Tyrone Swoops.
Man, would you, as a defender, how do you stop that
guy?
Well,
I mean, he's about 6'4", 250, playing quarterback, right? And so and they have the package at Texas half for him. They call it the 18-wheeler package, because when he's in there to run, almost like you saw Tebow do at Florida. So when you're playing an offense like that, or quarterback like that, you might compare him to a guy like Cam Newton, right, with all the zone read offense Carolina does. You got to have an extra guy in the box. You have to have extra eyes on the quarterback, especially with some of the zone read game that they do. It's tough, though. He's just as big as the outside linebackers.
But, you know, that quarterback, he gets to enter college, his second semester senior year. So he's around the program for spring ball. So he's not just your natural freshman that's there for 8 weeks and then playing that. It's really, beneficial for him to be around the program, to the way he's been able to be such a leader early in his college life.
It really is. And one thing I notice is that the jump from high school to college is, in my opinion, and you may feel different, Tom, but the jump from high school to college was so much bigger than the jump from college to the NFL, just because the speed of the game, and also not even the speed of the game, just you as a 16, 17-year-old going against other 16 and 17-year-olds. Now when you get to college, you might still be 17 if you're an early enrollee, maybe 18, but you're going against 22-year-olds, right? You haven't matured when I was 18, I wasn't physically as mature as I was when I became 22, and so that was a bigger jump for me in my experience.
Well, you know, that I see there's a college offensive lineman from USC that's transferring out of the school, going back to Georgia because of homesickness. And I do – the reason that I picked Notre Dame is growing up in Joliet, Illinois, is because it's close to home, and homesickness would have affected me. And so I agree 100% with you. It's a harder transition from a senior year in high school to a freshman in college, because by the time you're a senior in college, you kind of – okay, I know I can play.
Right.
And so it's you're looking forward to it, where high school senior to freshman, there's a lot of nervous anticipation.
There is. And I remember my freshman year, and I grew up in Dallas, and I went to school in Austin, a 3-hour drive. So I remember almost every single weekend, and, you know, we started off in, you know, the spring, and every single weekend I was going back home, driving back home and seeing family. And, you know, my friends were, you know, they're all hanging out and going to the parties. I was like, I miss my family. I miss my mom. I miss my dad, the home cooked meals.
I love the fact that we got two mama's boys here playing football on the show. Bears All Access. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zabin. We're joined by Sam Ottrow. You mentioned Dallas. So now you're going back home. Second time this season that you go down to play in Texas. I'm sure all the family and friends are coming to the game. But what's it like to play in Dallas as a guy who grew up? You're probably a Cowboys fan, right, back in the day?
Well, it's funny. I have an Emmitt Smith poster in my room growing up when I was – third grade, fourth grade, so 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Because they were the team back then,
and I didn't even know if I even liked Emmitt Smith, but it was just like in the 90s, right. They were the team. I'm in Dallas, they're winning Super Bowls, America's team, and so they were my team, and I think that poster may still be in my room at home in Dallas. But as I started growing up, I wasn't necessarily a Cowboys fan. I was more of a fan of certain players, so I liked watching guys like, you know, Simeon Rice, Julius Peppers. As I started getting older, those are the guys who I would look at. And so... But going back to playing Dallas is so much fun just because you got your friends there, you got your family there, the people you went to high school with, right? Even if they're not at the game, you know that they're watching and they're texting you beforehand. It's a blast.
You know, one thing just to revisit your senior year in college, because I think of all your football accomplishments, being voted by Sporting News as one of the 20 smartest college football players, I think that's so important because you can't play football if you're not smart.
Yep.
But it's an accomplishment being smart. You know, I always tell my nieces who are valedictorians, it's a lot harder being smart. You know, it is something that you have to work on every day. That's a heck of an accomplishment by you.
Well, it definitely was a lot of work, but it was fun too. I remember coming in as an 18-year-old, as a freshman, and having goals and having dreams. And I remember meeting a guy by the name of Dallas Griffin, who was a offensive lineman, a center for our team at Texas. I was a freshman. He was a senior. And he had just won what was called the Dratty Award, which is the academic Heisman Trophy. And so as I was writing down my list of goals, I said, I want to win that. I want to win that. And so I pretty much followed Dallas's footsteps. I asked him, what do I need to do? Right? What classes do I take? What all do I need to do in order to win this award, in order to really push myself? And he told me what to do. And so I changed majors, got into the business honors program, taking classes, ended up winning they changed it to the Campbell Trophy, but won that, and then also was voted top 20 smartest by Sporting News.
And for the record, last year you got your MBA.
I did. Yeah, I did. So yeah, last year, so another goal of mine, and education's huge in the Ottrow household, Emmanuel, right, being the more talented Ottrow from what I hear. We still got some time before we decide that. But yeah, so I finished college, and with that Campbell Trophy came a $25,000 postgraduate scholarship.
Good for you.
Yeah, and it was you had to use it within 2 years, right? So I said, I didn't want to have it go to waste. So played my first year in the NFL with the Arizona Cardinals, fourth round draft pick, 103rd overall, and played that year, ended up starting as a rookie, had 7 sacks and played really well. And so that offseason I said, okay, I want to just understand what it's like to just have a little bit of freedom, right? Because you know how it is, going from that junior year in college where scouts are looking, and now your senior year, now you're a rookie, and now you finally played. Took a little bit of a break, but after that I said, you know what, I'm going to use this postgraduate scholarship and work on my MBA. So 4 years later, four long off seasons later, ended up getting
it's a more important message than your athletic accomplishments, because I think young kids need to hear it and parents need to know it, that your football players can be smart, and there are some really super intelligent football players out there on, you know, of so many different levels.
But it's not always easy, because, and you've heard these coaches, you've heard these GMs, these evaluators always say, well, you know, we don't want someone that's too smart. We want someone that's only focused on football 24/7. So we'll discuss how difficult that is to balance the two next with Sam Ottrow. The Bears linebacker is with us. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer with you. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears or watch segments on the Chicago Bears official mobile app this week. On the show, Spice this week, Coach John Fox reflects on the events of 9/11. Chris Sorich on his new challenge as athletic director at Prairie State. And Charles Tillman surprises fans at Soldier Field. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, joined by Sam Ottrow, the Bears outside linebacker. You know, we saw Peanut last week at Soldier Field. It had been a while since he had been there. And man, he's been up
seemingly everywhere. He's another one of those guys. Smart guy. You see him on TV. He does the pregame shows. You know, he's actively involved in the community. And I think it's important because it wasn't just something that he started to do near the end of his career or post-career. It's something that he was doing early on in his career. And Sam, you're a guy who's heavily involved in the community. You do a lot of different things, both not in Chicago, but just everywhere. And you try to make an impact. And you have never ignored the balance of the books and the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really is a balance. I remember being at college and working towards that, you know, academic Heisman Trophy, yet also realizing I'm at a for a long time, we were the number one school in the country, right? We were undefeated my junior year, went to the national championship. And I remember walking into my business honors class, right, with – we had 30 – Texas is 50,000 students, 35,000 undergrad. And my classes are maybe 35, 40 at most people in the class, and they're all – I'm not going to say nerds, but I mean, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, why are you looking at me when you say that?
No offense, Zach, no offense. But I walk in, and I remember that year, I think we had just won the Big 12 championship and just beat Nebraska, and I walk into my class, and I got a standing ovation from the people in the business honors program. So it just showed how much people care about, even in the academic world, people care about sports as well.
Do you, when you played in college, and as you were trying to make the transition to the NFL, did you hear whispers from evaluators that, hey, you know, we just want a football player. We don't want a guy that can do a little bit of everything.
I did. To be honest, when I was coming out, that was somewhat of you could say the knock. People said, oh, well, he's too smart. He thinks too much. This and that. And I think there is a little bit of credence to the fact that football, especially playing defense, react. And so I've gotten so much better since my college days of just learning how to react and not thinking, right? There's so much information. You could look at formations, tips, tendencies, offensive linemen, their stances. But you just find one thing, you just react. And so fast forward, so there was a little bit of that talk. Well, Sam, he's a smart guy. Let's see what kind of football player he is. Is he tough? So my rookie year, I said, I want to earn the respect of every single coach, every single player, and even every single fan. And I did that by how I practiced, right? I wasn't talking about academics or whatever. I was going out and laying the wood and practicing in games.
You know, trying to bring that over to football. You know, I was reading about New England, how Julian Edelman is going to be the backup quarterback to Brissett.
Yep. Yeah, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback. Now, in terms of today's modern football, could you mentally go from outside linebacker and play inside linebacker? Because, you know, you think about Danny Trevathan being injured and the way that injuries happen nowadays in the modern NFL field. Is that something that can smarts spill over to two positions for you?
Yes and no. The tough part about, I think people who haven't played football may not understand how different each position is, right? They think that if you can play offensive guard, you surely can play tackle. Right, or if you could play tackle, I'm sure you could play center.
Tom did.
You can't do it well.
But it's not that easy.
Right.
It's not that easy. You know how difficult it is. You've done it. You know how hard it is, right? And so people might say, well, he plays outside linebacker. Move him inside, he'll be fine. The game is so much different being on the edge versus being in the middle of an entire formation. The game's so much different as a corner who being on an island versus being a safety who's got to come downhill and be able to play the middle of the field as well. So it's very different. Some of the, you know, certain players can make that transition, but it's not always easy.
Right. And then, I remember in New England, I was watching you go through one-on-ones, and you were killing those guys. And then I look at your stats. You got 13 sacks and 8 caused fumbles. What's harder? Is it because, you know, we watch Charles Tillman do the peanut punch, and you get a sack, you beat your tight end, you beat your offensive lineman, bam, you hit the quarterback. But when you create a forced fumble, there's more to it. It's the reaction to get to the play, to get to the player, to disrupt his grip or punch the ball out. What do you find that is harder?
Well, the ball is the key, right? I think that, and going back to some of those stats, right? I remember my rookie year, I think I had 7 sacks, maybe 4 or 5 forced fumbles. Second year, 4 sacks, 3 interceptions. I don't know how many forced fumbles. Third year, had an injury. Fourth year, recovering from that, all that kind of stuff. So now I'm finally at a point where I'm feeling healthy. And, you know, Coach Fox asked me the other day, or a couple weeks ago during training camp, he said, Sam, you look a little bit different than you did last year. Did you train somewhere different? Did you change your diet? I was like, Coach, I'm finally healthy. I finally feel like myself again. And as a player, Tom, you understand what it's like to be healthy versus not. And so, but going back to that, the idea of a sack versus a sack and a forced fumble, I think it's, and by no means is it easy to get a sack, but it's much more difficult to focus on getting that ball off of a quarterback or even creating a turnover when you see a running back running or, you know, talking about the peanut punch. It's so much more difficult because it takes a higher level of focus. It takes an intent focus on the ball and an increased effort to go and make that play happen.
There was a play from the other night. Both you and Willie Young had beat your guys, and you kind of met at the running back that was the point of attack over the right guard. But it's hard because there's so much to your assignment. You got to be disciplined against the snap count. Then you got to beat the blocker in front of you, and then you got to figure out the direction of the play and try to close that distance. And when I watch you, you know, it is your intelligence helps you do three things at once. And it was an impressive play. And that's why I was thinking, because here you get in a position, you can create a forced fumble, but then I saw you pass rush against the New England players, and you were really having really good reps against them. So, you know, it's got to be fun when everything is clicking for you.
It is, it is. And to that point, too, that's when you can make the game easy, right? So look at the situation. I think it was second and 20 or third and long, second and long and third and long. Our coach called a specific play knowing that, all right, most teams, 90%, we'll call it a team's, on second and long and third and long, what are they running? Screen and draw, right? So we called a play to protect against the screen or the draw. And lo and behold, the draw came. So it was one of those things where you're not even thinking. You're going, boom. You know, you see the draw, boom, you go and you hit it.
I find it fascinating that you know Lamar Houston better than most people just because of your days at Texas and obviously with the Bears. And you know the arduous rehab that it took to come back from the first ACL injury. And then for that to happen again, what's it like for him?
Yeah, so it is. Injuries are never easy. In 2013, I broke my fibula, was out for the year, broke my leg in the third game of the season, and had to go through that rehab process. And it's not easy, especially when you've worked so hard. Lamar Houston's a guy who his training is unbelievable. I don't know if you all know, but
he
traveled to Turkey for almost a month and trained in Turkey at some of the most high-level training you could imagine. His diet's changed. He's been as healthy as he's ever been. And to have an injury like that, it's tough. It's not easy, especially emotionally, because you give your all to this game, and it can be taken away from you so quickly. But one thing I love about Lamar is that he's a fighter. He's never going to quit. His body's already in better shape than it was before, and so now he's going to be able to rehab even faster than most people.
I admire Lamar's commitment to the game, because you talk about a guy that can transition from a 300-pound, three-point stance defensive lineman to rehab from a knee injury, change positions completely, have the amount of sacks that he had last year. You know, a lot of people, you don't get to know him, and even we don't, but when you watch him from afar, I admire his commitment to this football team, the organization, and to being a professional player.
And even going back to his college days, because Lamar, I was 18 as a freshman. Lamar was 19, a year older than me. So I knew him, I've known him almost 10 years now. And even coming in, he was about 260, 265 coming in, right? His first year, second year, third year. His last year in college is when he actually put on the weight. So talking about sacrificing for your team, we had no defensive tackles. He was playing defensive end. We needed a D-tackle. And so he actually put on about 25, 30 pounds, slid down to the inside, played D-tackle. Once again, going back to hard work, after practices, we'd have a two-hour practice, right, outside in the heat. He'd come in, take his shoulder pads off, still have his pants with the pads in them, go to the weight room and start squatting, benching, lifting, getting ready for the NFL. And so he's a guy who, when his mind is in it, he's unstoppable.
And you could see how he was falling in love with the framework of this defense, because this was a little new for him as well. And last year when he was getting ready, he was just worried about the rehab and getting his knee right so he could earn the trust of the coaching staff. This offseason, he finally had an opportunity to just work on Lamar as opposed to the knee. And it's a shame to see what happened, but unfortunately, that's football. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll actually talk about the new look Bears again because of all these different injuries across the board. A very different team is going to take the field Sunday night against the Cowboys. Sam Acho is here. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff next Monday night at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 at 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, joined by Bears outside linebacker Sam Acho. And I guess you could say the veterans on this team are coaches on the field this week with so many inexperienced players being added to the mix.
100%. And one thing about this team, and like any team, right, if you're on the 53-man roster, you're considered a starter. It's a next man up mentality. So as guys prepare, even if you're on the practice squad, or as Coach Fox likes to call it, the developmental squad, you're always practicing as if you're playing in a game. We treat practice like mini games. And so when the game comes, it becomes easier. And so though we will have a lot of younger guys, maybe you could say not as much experience, they have the experience as in what they've been doing in practices.
You know, the position coaches here, you know, Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator, but from Ed Donatell to Clint Hurt and all the guys, they are a really good group of guys that get everybody prepared. Because even this past weekend, when you watch the game, the people that come in, they're not making mental errors. They're on the spot. They know the defense. And it always impressed me last year when Vic got here and they were playing loud music during the coaching point. If you're not paying attention, if you're not focused, if you're not spending time, you know, looking through your playbook and stuff, you're going to be left behind. So when you do get a chance to play, most of these guys have been mentally prepared, which is the most important part.
Right, and they're taking advantage of their opportunity. All right. It takes is an opportunity. You know it just as well as anybody else. All you need is a chance, right? Look at Tom Brady. He got a chance. He never turned it back. And so that's what all these guys are waiting for, their opportunity to shine.
You know, it's interesting because John Fox has called it, it's either a crisis or a carnival. So when things are great, everyone overreacts. When things are bad, they overreact. But, I mean, just as an example, there are 14 players this week on the injury report. We know several of them will not play. So behind closed doors, what's the conversation like? Because there are 14 games to go. It's not as though the season is over. So how do you find the resolve to keep fighting? What's the rallying cry behind closed doors?
Well, it's not even really a rallying cry, or there's no finding any resolve to keep fighting. I mean, it's a 16-game season, right? And so injuries happen. That's the name of the game in football. Injuries happen. Games happen. You may not play as well. You may have a bad play, even a bad game. But you put it behind you and you move on. That's kind of what we've done, right? The Philly game, put it behind us. Now we're on to Dallas. You never want to let one game beat you twice, right? And so we've moved on past that. And there, what we talk about as far as a team, as far as a coaching staff, and, you know, even the entire building is, it's not necessarily doing more, but just what we're doing, do it a little bit better, right? Focus on turnovers, that intense focus you have to get the ball out. Instead of just being satisfied with a sack, force fumble. Instead of being satisfied with just making a tackle, make sure you try and punch that ball out when you have the chance, and it starts in practice.
And it's got, you know, when you play a Monday night game, you don't have the luxury of looking back. You have to look at the film, and then you go forward. And then you start looking at a guy like Elliott, and they got a rookie quarterback. You know, you have to capitalize on your opponent. And when you took it to Elliott, he's got two fumbles within four carries. That's got to be a point of emphasis. And then you talk about inexperience, but great athleticism as a rookie quarterback. That's the way you're coached. You're not coached about what you just played. It's about what you're gonna face.
Exactly. And even talking about even the term takeaway, right? You have to go take the ball away. Oftentimes, it won't be just given to you.
Right.
You have to make a conscious effort to take the ball away. And so, talking about Dallas, they've got some very talented players, talented running back, talented receiving core. Obviously, a young quarterback who's played really well. But once again, you know, look at running backs who like to make plays. A lot of times when they're spinning off blocks or focused on trying to make somebody miss, you can get someone from behind to punch the ball out. Receivers like to get a lot of yards after the catch. Same idea, right? There's always a positive and negative to every move you have in football.
But a lot of it has to be a coordinated effort because someone's got to go in for the tackle while the other guy's trying to punch the ball
right
out. But when you haven't played with the guys next to you, how do you get that kind of chemistry going in a week?
Yeah, chemistry is huge, and that's why you see a lot of us, especially now this year, we're spending a lot more time together off of the field, right? We're in the film room.
Is that a Purnell thing? Because I remember last year when we had Purnell McPhee in here, he mentioned that one of his regrets was that during the offseason when he had signed on with the Bears, he didn't have an opportunity because he was flying back and forth from Baltimore to create what he called the family atmosphere that you need off the field to create success on it.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the secret, right? That's the secret to success. You're with these guys all the time. You're with them in the meeting room, the film room, and the weight room. But there's something to be said about when you go home, right? Or when you're off the field. Are you spending time getting to know someone for who they are, right? I know Purnell from an outside linebacker perspective in our meeting room watching film, Willie Young, all those guys.
Locker next to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
right?
That is that scary?
Oh no, Purnell. Yeah, I got a little intimidated. No, Fee's my guy. Like we've become so close. But even more than that, we have lockers next to each other. Christian Jones and I have lockers next to each other. But we spend time off the field as well. We go to dinner together. We'll hang out together. We'll spend time together. Families know each other. Having a family atmosphere and playing for your teammate, we call him your brother, as opposed to playing for a coach, it makes such a big difference. Because when you're playing for your brother, you're going to lay your life on the line. Because that's your brother. You know him. You've broken bread with him. You know their family. You know their kids. Just as bad as you want success for yourself, you want success for them.
But you know what's neat is, you know, if I was an offensive lineman and I was preparing to play the Bears, I would have concerns about Willie Young. I'd have concerns about you. I would have concerns because Jarrell Freeman's a tackle machine. Akeem Hicks is playing big inside. Bullard's getting better every game. So you have to think what's going through your opponent's mind, too, as you guys grow through the season. And when you have 14 games left, you haven't played a divisional opponent yet, there's so much to look forward to. You know, you have to approach every workday enthusiastically because ultimately that's how you're going to get better.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I think it would be fun to be with the group of guys you have because you talk about having a family atmosphere. You enjoy working together. And now you get to go into the brightest stage in the NFL week on Sunday Night Football into the Palace in Dallas and win a game. You know, I mean, that's what makes the flight home great.
Exactly. And it's just fun to be able to do it with your guys, right? We talk a lot about, and this is my experience, I've only played 6 years, but people talk about the fun is in winning.
Only 6 years nowadays is a long
it
time,
is, it
Sam.
Is.
You know, it's not
well,
it's
comparatively,
not
a, right?
Right. It's not 6 months.
but one thing I've learned is that the fun is in winning, right? So when you're winning, when you're playing for your guys, that it makes it more fun. When you're out there having fun and just being yourself, it's more fun, right? Now, granted, I've been a part of some winning teams where I didn't have as much fun just for, you know, one reason or another, right? Injury, you can't do what you want to do physically, right? But the fun is when you know you've given it your all for your teammate, and then that success comes with that.
Right, results-based business.
Right, yeah, exactly.
All right, before we get to more of the results-based stuff, around the league, usually when you have a tight-knit group and you guys go out to dinner, someone always plays a little joke on the rookie, giving him, say, a tab that he didn't earn. Have you guys done that to Leonard Floyd yet?
Well, hopefully Leonard's not listening because we don't want him to know this is happening. So, Leonard, if you're listening, don't tune in. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm not giving any clues or hints as to when it will or may happen.
Does he call you sir, or does he refer to you as Sam? Because the time you get a chance to meet him, yes, sir, no, sir.
Yeah.
I figure, you know, 6 years in the league.
Well, it's cool. Leonard's finally starting to kind of open up a little bit and let people know him for who he is. It's hard when you're a rookie because you come in with your other rookies and you get to know them a little bit, but you see all these older players, these veterans, and you're thinking, man, these guys, they have a wife and kids, and they've been playing for 6 years, forever. They're old guys with gray hair. And so, but now he's finally starting to open up a little bit, and it's fun. He's starting to relax, and you'll see it on the field. His play will become a lot better.
I can't wait to hear the snapshot scouting report on the personalities of the outside linebacker room and the inside linebackers, too. We'll get to that next with Sam Altschul, our guest for the entire hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The best way to get ready for Sunday's Cowboys-Bears game is to tune into Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. Our guest is Bears outside linebacker Sam Altschul here at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. And there are some interesting personalities in the area of the locker room where the linebackers reside. You mentioned it earlier, Sam. You've got the guy known as Cheese, Christian Jones on one side. Then you got Pernell McPhee in the eyes. And I mean, this guy, you know, a lot gets made because he has these colorful quotes anytime he talks to the media. And it's got to be killing him that he can't be out there with his guys.
Yeah, and so the way I describe Pernell, and this is as long as I've known him, He's a lion. He's a lion. That's the best way to put it. He's got the heart of a lion. The way he plays is fierce like a lion. That there's no other way I could describe. The way he leads, he's like a lion, right? And so the hardest part for him is not being on the field with us. That's the hardest part. And to think about it, he has a great role on the team at the same time. We voted him as a captain knowing that he may not be with us for the first six games. So there's that respect factor that's there that's huge. And he's just so passionate, and he's a lion. That's the best way to put it, and I love him.
I remember last year after the first full pad practice in Kankakee, he was going live. I mean, and I remember after practice walking up to Zach Miller, I said, man, this is going to be a tough training camp for the tight ends.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't make it easy on anybody, and whether it's an offensive tackle that he's going against or a tight end. But, you know, that's what you need here. You know, you're always looking to change the culture in a more serious sense, even in practice. And I think he brought it, and I think it kind of spilled over to every one of you guys, because I never see anybody taking it easy at practice.
Yeah, and that's one thing we always talk about, and Purnell's pushed this as well, as far as, man, you want to put fear in the hearts of the guys who go against you, right? You want them to turn on the film and say, I don't want to go against that guy. I don't want to play against this team, right? But it's, once again, it starts in practice. And so our job, outside linebackers, you got to dominate the tight ends in practice, and that'll carry over to dominating tight ends in games. Dominating offensive linemen in practice carry over to dominating in games.
What was your scuffle record in training camp this year?
Oh.
Were you 2-0?
Oh, man, I don't even know. Scuffle, I think it might have been more than two. I don't know about the win-loss, but scuffle's more than two for sure.
Is it hard to turn it off? Because you have to be constantly on, and it's almost encouraged, as long as no one gets hurt, to get that stuff, to find that way to push the limit. Is it hard to turn it off, even in a practice?
Well, there's definitely a balance, but I think that balance comes a little bit off of the field, right? Because in practice, training camp especially, or OTAs, when you're new to a team trying to show your stuff, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to be out there when you're a new guy and nobody knows you. You got to show what you can do every single play.
But then you have guys at different levels, and this is where it gets challenging, because you have veterans that know there's a certain tempo that they want to practice at, and then you have rookie. Remember, former Texas guy, Cedric Benson, was a guy who early on in his career, and most young guys, you're going full speed 100% of the time because you have to earn your way. Well, some of the veterans know, I'm not going to say that they're taking it for granted, but they know, hey, we're here, we're okay from a contractual standpoint, so we're not going to do the same thing that you're doing, so you better calm down when you're going up again. How do you guys balance that?
Well, how we balance is guys know who are the guys that are going to bring it every single play, right? And there's no knock on people who don't. I played with a guy named John Abraham. Everybody knows, yeah. John Abraham. I think it was his 11th year, 12th year in the NFL. I think it was 11th. And I was in the Arizona Cardinals, and John had his tempo, right? He took three hard steps, and then he stopped. Like, that was like,
right, right.
And that was just how John did it. But he got to a game, I think he had 11 or 12 sacks that year, right? And so that was John.
Right,
and so,
you better be a big-time Sunday player if you
exactly,
do that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So with we called him Abe. With Abe, offensive lineman knew not to try and mash him. This is like a, you know, we called him an old man. He was about 36, 37 years old, right? With certain guys, like, I'm a guy who I gotta practice a certain way so I can play that same way. And so guys know, I think some of the tight ends used to call me, all Lake County team or something like that, right? Like, they didn't tell me that. I heard that through the grapevine. That's offensive players for you.
Well, that's a good compliment because you practice hard. But, you know, when John Fox got here last year, none of us really knew what he was about. And then the last training camp practice, it was probably the most physical practice I've seen here for the last day of training camp in 15, 20 years. But now this year, you got 21 guys on the roster that were here when John Fox really got here. So you guys really don't know each other. There's, you know, most of the roster is out there competing to capture their position coach's interest, competing for a spot on the team. So I do think, you know, this year, too, in the John Fox system was, again, one of the most physical training camps that I've seen you guys go through.
Definitely, and it's more physical, but at the same time, I believe we have a lot more respect for each other,
right,
as well, because you know what we're fighting for. I don't know if you noticed, Tom, and I'm sure you did, but the level of practice, the intensity of practice has been much higher than it was all of last year.
Right.
The competition level, right, it's so much higher because we know we're fighting for something bigger than ourselves.
You did something during the offseason. You penned this essay about free agency. And again, this comes back to the balance. You know the way the NFL works. But you were very passionate about the way veterans that maybe aren't superstars are treated in the league. Can you kind of expand on what you were trying to portray in that essay?
Yeah, 100%. And so the NFL, people talk about it being a business. And a lot of times, and most of the time it is, right? It comes down to contracts, guys who feel good about their contracts versus guys who don't. Not always about performance. That's why you see the good teams, which is what Chicago is, especially now year two in this team. You watch the guys who play or the guys who perform, not the guys who have the big old contracts, right? But being a free agent's not easy. And so going back to this offseason, kind of taking me back there, it was just one of those things where you see a lot of guys get paid the big bucks, right? The $100 million contracts. And you see that, and I've played long enough to see guys with multi-million, $100 million contracts, multi-year deals, and it doesn't always bring you joy, right? All that money sometimes doesn't always bring you a lot of joy. All that, people call it success in the world's eyes, doesn't bring you joy. And the flip side of that is when you're not getting those contracts, right? Maybe not even the $100 million contracts, when you're not getting too many calls from a lot of teams. You're sitting here like, man, I know what I'm worth, and I know, okay, well, they look at this guy. He might be an older guy or a veteran, or they believe you can only play a certain role. Yet, for me, I know what I can do, right? People might say, oh, he's a backup. He's just average. I know what I am. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do, especially when I'm healthy, right? And so, for me, free agency was more about and coming back here to Chicago is more about proving a point, right? Not to anybody else, but to myself to say, you know what? I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do. I'm not going to let any contract or any GM or owner or coach define me.
Real quick, when you pen an essay, do you actually pen it or do you type it on your?
I type it on my iPhone. Okay. I'm gonna start penning them though next time from here on out.
I just thought the prose sounded better.
I know, but guys that actually handwrite
things.
Yeah,
he's not like Thomas Jefferson with a feather pen, you know, writing a. Yeah, exactly. He's not doing that kind of stuff. But when we come back, I do want to hit on this because there's an opportunity now, and I'm sure you're sensing it, where you probably would not have had this opportunity at the beginning of the year, but some things have kind of worked out here with the injuries where there's an opportunity for you to be able to take your game to the next level within the framework of the team. We'll discuss next with Sam Acho here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Tune into a post-game edition of Bears Game Night Live on Fox 32 Chicago this Sunday night. Switch over to Fox after the Bears game ends for complete post-game coverage. Tom Thayer is going to be on that show with Jeff Joniak. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber here from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. We're joined by Sam Acho. This is your resume, by the way. You know, we came into the show, we started talking about your brother, who's now a college football analyst on the big cable television network. But, you know, hey, if the executives are listening, man, when football is done, you've got a chance here.
We gotta ask them who's the better Acho then, right? Right. Who's the better Acho?
Who would your brother say is the best Acho?
Well, no, so one thing about my brother is I've just been so impressed and I'm penning another essay soon about him, but I've just been so impressed because it's hard. And Tom, you can definitely speak on this, for guys to make the transition from the NFL to life after football. So my brother played for 4 years, had a couple injuries, has been cut, been picked up, cut and picked up. He had an opportunity. So last year he was with the Eagles, broke his thumb. They gave him an injury settlement. And since then he's been working towards some of the media stuff he's been doing with the Longhorn Network and doing shows for the Cowboys, all that kind of stuff. But he had some calls from NFL teams to come and do workouts, and he actually turned some of them down. He turned some of them down because he knew that in his heart of hearts, he's like, you know what? I've done it. I've done it as long as I need to do it. And he did say this. I will say this. He said, if the perfect opportunity comes, so if Chicago calls, he would pick up. I mean, the brothers Acho back again.
Hey, have you guys ever come close at any point throughout your NFL lives of being together on the same team?
So in college, played 3 years together at Texas. So that was, we were on the same team in college. Past college, we played the Philadelphia Eagles, played the Arizona Cardinals back when I was in Arizona, and we played each other. Our teams played each other then, and we never went against each other because we both played defense, but he had a great game.
Did the parents have the split jersey?
Yeah. Yep, the Arizona, yep, yep. My dad, my mom had Arizona on the front and Philly on the back. My dad had the exact opposite.
Well, you know, I think no matter how long you play, you always have to start thinking about life after football and what your interests are, because you need to get into an occupation. Well, you know, I played with Emery Moorhead, got into real estate, was one of the most successful real estate salespersons on the North Shore here, and the other people that go into the different fields. And I had one more year left in my contract with Miami Dolphins, and I turned it down because I had enough mentally and had enough physically and been through enough and you know, then started to pursue other opportunities. So I think it's, you know, in your brother's mind, it's smart that he did, you know, have an interest that, you know, captured his attention. But going back to week one concerning you, we had Tracy Porter on.
Yes.
We were talking about his suit. And then
you
came out and you were well-dressed. You were sharp. Well-dressed man yourself.
Explain it. When the Bears went down to Houston, you know, Tracy Porter had this plaid, like blue, like turquoise kind of thing. But you had a suit that was just turquoise. It was
solid color of the one Tracy was wearing.
Like the old Charlotte Hornets. teal uniform? I mean, it looked like that warm-up suit color.
But is the pressure on now because you're going to Dallas? Are we going to see you on the bus on Saturday where, man, look at Sam?
I'm not going to, once again, because Tracy might be listening. I don't want to give him any tips and pointers, right? Keep it close to the vest. But so that suit, quick story on that suit, right? So this last offseason, so every summer my family and I, we go to Nigeria, do medical mission trips. And it's been awesome. We're actually doing an event in November, a fundraiser, so we can talk more about that at a different time. But every summer we do that. This last summer we actually didn't go, right? We didn't go. There was some security stuff going on, so we didn't go. But so our family took a trip to Italy, right? And so that suit I got while I was in Italy, and I had a master tailor, an 80-something-year-old man who's been a tailor for 60 years, doesn't speak a lick of English, a master tailor tailoring my suit. So
an authentic Italian
right.
suit.
Yes.
Now you got to work out the whole offseason so you don't outgrow the suit so you know you fit it perfectly.
Exactly.
So there... That must have been more than just one. That was just one suit from Italy that we saw the other.
That was just one suit from Italy. So that was the only suit I got from Italy because it was an expensive suit. it was one of those purchases where I was like, man, I know I play in the NFL, but oh, Lord, help
us. See, Tom's the same way. His advice to the young players that are in the NFL now is don't waste your money on these big-time suits.
It's not a fashion show. It's a business trip. So, yeah, when you get your second contract and you have the you can afford a couple luxuries in life, and then
– But, Tom, look good, play good, right?
But you're also you're a six-year man, and you paid your dues, and you've
– And I paid for that suit, too, Lord
right.
knows.
And you're a thinker. You know, I mean, you have a lot going for you, but it was kind of the weird things that capture your attention when you see the buses loading up, and I saw Tracy, and then I saw you, and I was going, man.
And real quick, Tracy saw that. So this home game, right? So I came. So home games, you don't have to wear suits; you can wear kind of whatever you want. So I came in, and Tracy saw it, and he gave me one of those little head nods, like, okay, I see you.
Oh, it's on.
It was a traditional Nigerian outfit, right? So we went back to Nigeria in the off season. And I got a custom-made Nigerian outfit that I wore before the game, and guys saw it and they respected it.
Is there any? Can you get a pic? Can you throw a picture of that?
Oh, so for sure. I'll put it on my Twitter account tonight, thesammacho.com, right after we get off of this.
Perfect. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back because the work that you do in Nigeria is so important. We'll discuss that as well as this opportunity that's now open for you on the field. Sam Macho, our guest. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access with linebacker Sam Macho, Zach Zaidman, and Tom Thayer with you. Man, we could go up for another hour if we had to. It's been that fun. But, you know, there's a huge opportunity for you from a playing standpoint with these injuries. How do you take advantage? Do you try to change anything, or do you just do what you do a little bit better than you were doing it before?
Yeah, it's simple as a preparation, right? You got to be ready for every opportunity that comes your way. And so one thing I've learned in my career is that it's not about starting. It's not about your individual stats. It's about the team. What can you do to make the team better? And if you're on the field, you're making an impact, which is my goal, to make an impact when I'm on the field and to be disruptive and to make plays, then you're going to make the team better.
Do you study, you got Jason Witten, you got Doug Free, you got the 77, the left
Tyron
tackle.
Smith,
yes.
Yep.
Do you study those guys specifically?
You just named them. That's
No, I know. But in your studying of them, you study a tight end and his stance differently than you do an offensive tackle and a two-point stance, a tackle and a three-point stance. Do you spend a lot of time detail in studying those guys specifically, or do you study the offensive personnel when it comes out of the huddle?
You do a little bit of both. So you got to understand personnel, number one. And then number two, you got to study the guys you're going to go against, because those are the guys who you're going to see almost every play, right? So I'm studying the offensive tackles, looking at if they give away run versus pass, looking at are they one-hand punchers versus two-hand punchers. I'm looking at the tight ends and how they pass protect, how they run block. So you got to look at these keys in order to be successful.
Right. Well, Doug, a tall offensive right tackle, you're always going to win the game of leverage. And when I see you in practice, either against your own guys or when we're in New England, that's when your game really shined, is because you have the athleticism to do what you want to those types of players.
Exactly. And you got to take advantage of your matchups, right? You got a guy who, let's say he's a high two-hand puncher. Well, if you're a pass rusher, you want to use we call it side scissors, to make sure those hands don't get on you. Because if, like Bobby Massey, if he gets on you, right, Bobby's a big, strong man. You're not going anywhere.
Now, you guys have two guys on the right side of the offensive line, 6'6", 320. Man, that's not fun for anyone who's not even close to that size. All right, so you do a lot of work in Nigeria, and we don't have a lot of time. So what do you want people to know about what you do out there?
Well, what I want people to know, first of all, so the easiest way to find out information, go to livinghopeministries.us. But so real quick, so in November 7th, we're doing an event at Eddie Merlot's in Lincolnshire. And you can, at livinghopeministries.us, you can get your tickets, find out more information. But a lot of my team, almost all my teammates are going to be there. Some former players are going to be there. And it's going to be a fundraiser to let people know about what we're doing. And also what we're doing is we're raising money to build a hospital. It's a medical missions trip that we do. So we go every year, doctors, nurses, surgeons, removing hernias, taking out cataracts, pulling out teeth, giving out medicine, bringing pediatricians to help with the kids, right? We're doing all that, but now we want to build something permanent. We want to build a hospital in Nigeria. And so November 7th at Eddie Merlot's, we'll be doing an event out there, and you can come and support the cause. And you can find out all the information you need at www.livinghopeministries.us.
That's great. What have you learned about that area that you can teach us about, you know, so we can get ready for your event?
Yeah, definitely. One thing I've learned about Nigeria, and especially developing countries, is that they have so much more than we think in ways that we never would expect. My example, I look at money. They may not have a lot of money over there, but they have a lot of joy, a lot of gratefulness. The little we might remove a cataract from a person who couldn't see before, right? Now they can see. You should see the look on their faces, the joy that they have, the gratitude that they show, right? They're so rich in gratitude. They're rich in joy, rich in love, rich in happiness. Where I look at a lot of times in our culture in America, we have the money, right? I mean, if you're making over, I don't know what, if you're making over 50,000, you're in like the top 4% or something like that. So we have all those material things, but they have joy. And so if you come on November 7th, they're going to have a chance for you to see why they have so much joy.
It's great to see football being used for a greater good. Sam, thank you so much. Good luck Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys in your return home. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Sam Acho, our guest, Greg Miller, our executive producer, and Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.